1 John chapter 5. Now we come to this, and the ideas here, the statements in 1 John 5, are not foreign. But every once in a while, we have to come back and check the foundation of our faith and secure the assurance that we have in our faith. Because the world is barking all kinds of contrary ideas at us. And so we've got to remain grounded and remain true. And 1 John chapter 5 is basics. Well, this is like kindergarten Christianity, preschool Christianity. But, you know, there are people sitting in church houses today that don't believe what we're about to read in the Bible. If we read it in the Bible, we should believe it completely. It says in verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Look, the world had been looking, or at least the Jews had been looking for the Christ for hundreds of years in expectation of that one who would come and fulfill the promise of God. And when he came, just like we looked at in Sunday school, some of them didn't believe. Many did. Multitudes, thousands did believe. But some didn't. And today, there are many who believe, but there are many who do not. And if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you have no part with God. So to say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus, then you don't believe in God. You must accept the Son to possess the Father. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if you love the Father, you love the Son. So how could it be that we could misunderstand that relationship? That we could somehow think we're fine with the Father when we reject his Son? There's no way. Just looking at my life with my children, with my sons, and thinking about times where I've had to remove people from my life and have harsh words with people in my life because they had a conflict with one of my sons. Well, let me make it clear to you. If you don't accept the Son, you don't have a good relationship with the Father. And that idea is not original with me, it's original with God. We have to have a right relationship with Christ. Verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God." When we love God and keep his commandments. So if we love God, we'll love his children. Do we love the church? Do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we love the saved? I love the saved. I love y'all. I love coming in here and being with you. And it makes me happy to walk in and see somebody tickle Carolyn's neck and she jumps out of the pew. One of the highlights of the morning. But I love to see our brothers and sisters come into God's house. In fact, I even love to see them at Sam's gas station, wherever, as long as they have gas. I love to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love the children of God, not just this church, but all the children of God. Now, how do I show that I love you? When we love God. You know how I can show that I love you? By loving the Father. You know how the best way I could be a good member of Capitol Heights Baptist Church is to have a good relationship with God. That's it. What I need to do to be a good member, love God. Love God. Love God. Because if I love God, everything else is going to work out. If I am devoted to God, if I'm committed, if I'm loyal to God, everything else is going to work out. But he said, not just love God, but also keep his commandments. Do you understand that the commandments have to do with relationship and consideration? How many of you appreciate the idea that I, when I'm dealing with you, I observe the commandment, thou shalt not steal? You go, well, thanks for not stealing from me. Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. Yeah, I appreciate you not killing me, preacher. Be careful when you go visit people. Some of them you might want to call ahead. Sheila Gibbs. I have been met at the door with firearms before. But she loved, she showed me that she loved me because she didn't kill me, and I appreciate that. Thank you. If I love God and if I love the church, I will observe the commandments. I will keep the commandments. Don't tell me you love God and you love the church and you're committing adultery, fornication, covetousness, dishonoring your parents, dishonoring God, dishonoring the Sabbath, worshiping idols. Don't tell me you love God if you're a liar. Don't tell me you love me if you're a liar. Because he says the way that we love, we know we love the children of God, is if we love God and keep his commandments. So if I'm running recklessly, if I'm living recklessly, then the truth is I don't honor or love you or God. How many of you have ever thought about doing something wrong and realized the impact? Don't raise your hand on this. And realize the impact it would have had on your church. I'll tell you the truth. There's been times where being a member of the church has caused me to not do something that I might have compromised my heart and done anyway. But I said, I can't do it because of the sake of the church. Now, y'all quit making up things of what I was going to do. What was he going to do? None of your business. I didn't do it. Why? Because I love you. Because I love God. And that's one more way that God brings us into alignment, into compliance, into a right relationship, is by giving us accountability. Hey, look, when we sin, when we live recklessly, we are accountable to our church. And when we defame the name of God and defame the name of the church has a right, in fact, an obligation to set us out of the church until we get our act together. By the way, you understand that is the only form of discipline according to the scripture. We don't bring people up front and flog them. Or use a cane yet. Or use a cane, right? We don't bring them up to the altar and give them a whipping. No, we exclude them from the church. We say, you're not a member of the church anymore. You have no right to vote. You have no right to teach. You have no right to participate. You can come sit down, but as far as having some job, some role in the church, you can't do it. Why? Because you're excluded. Why? Because you don't honor God and the children of God with the way you live. That is the only form of exclusion. We don't have second-class members. You're either a member or you're not. Somebody said, are they on the inactive list? We have a list of church members. We don't have an inactive list. Now, there are some inactive people, but there's no inactive list. There's no inactive members of Capitol Heights Baptist Church. The commandments of God set boundaries. The commandments of God establish the right relationship that we have with others and with God. That's what the commandments are for. Again, I said in Sunday school, they're not restrictions. They're benefits. Because not only does it protect you from me, it protects me from you. The law is there for our benefit. You ever come to those cross streets, like when you go into Walmart and that second entrance over there? And the side has stop signs. In fact, there's three stop signs there. But when you're coming in off the highway, there's no stop sign. It's not a four-way stop, it's a three-way stop. And so you come in there and you just keep right on trucking through there, don't you? Those stop signs are there. You might sit on the side and say, well, this long line of traffic, if there had been a stop sign there, then I could have gotten by. Those stop signs are there for your benefit. Those red lights are there for your benefit. Speed limits are there for your benefit. How come y'all disagreed with that one? It's there for your benefit. And so is the law. I love verse number 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. You see, love is not a feeling. It may manifest as a feeling. It may make us feel good. Love is action. Love is deed. Love is what we do. Yeah, love is what we say. Love is an expression. This is the love of God. How do we express the love of God? We keep His commandments. We live by His boundaries, by His rules. And His commandments, look at this, are not grievous. My goodness. It's not hard to do right. It's not hard to live within the boundary. He doesn't say you got to wear purple on Tuesday. God doesn't even say you can't eat fish on Friday or can't eat meat on Friday. God says these are the rules and they're not hard. They're not heavy. How is it that we get it in our minds that it's hard to live for God? That it's hard to do right? That it's hard to live right? Because it's not. And it's such a blessing when we do. Because if we don't live recklessly, then we're not always in trouble. We're not always paranoid somebody's going to find out. We're not always looking over our shoulder to make sure nobody saw it. If we didn't get caught. How many of you ever, don't raise your hand on this. How many of you ever get mail from the IRS? And you see that letter and you go, oh no. Well, I mean, nobody likes the IRS, right? I mean, we all love the IRS. Nobody likes to get that letter. But as long as you haven't done anything wrong, yeah, but it's just a hassle. I know. But still, as long as we live within the rules, live within the boundaries, we can get that letter all day long and there's no downside to it. A couple hours showing them your records and then it's over. So it's the same thing with God. When we think about judgment day, when we stand before God and we are held accountable for our stewardship, for what we've done with what God gave to us, what God trusted us with, how many of us are scared of judgment day? You say, well, Pastor, I'm scared of judgment day. I've done some awful things. But see, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's washed all that away. Imagine you get to heaven and God says, I'm going to show you all the bad things you ever did in your life. And then you look and there's just a blank page. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you all the things you're going to be held in judgment for, all the sins that you committed. And then He holds it up and there's nothing there. Why? Because it's been washed by the blood. Hallelujah. And then He says, now let's get to the things I trusted you with and let's see what you did with it. Let's see how you spent what I gave you. Let's see how you used the talents that I entrusted to you, that I entrusted to you. What did you do with the time? Would you say that's the number one thing we waste is time? All the things we could be doing, and we say, well, yeah, but I don't really have time right now. You'll learn to manage it. His commandments are not unreasonable. It's not difficult to live within the boundaries God has set. It's not. Verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's an incredible statement. We live in a world of confusion, strife, wonder, ignorance. What a great thing to know that we're saved. I know that I'm born again. I know I'm washed in the blood. I know that when I die, I'm going to go into the presence of God. So I don't have to worry about dying. Right? I don't have to worry about dying. So if I'm not afraid to die, that brings a whole lot of possibilities. Do a lot of things when you're not afraid of dying. And another thing, I know God has a plan. I know God is watching me and taking care of me. And that's not to say I never do dumb things. Not to say that I never mess up. It's not to say that I never have disappointments in my life. But even when I examine all those disappointments, I look up and I say, God, I know you got a plan. And so I don't worry about it. I've gotten a bad news this week. And so I got that bad news and I just thought, well, I don't know what to do now. I'm just going to trust God. Lord, I don't know what your plan is. I don't know how you're going to work it out. Show me my part. But other than that, I'm just putting it in your hands and trusting you. And I'm not going to worry about it. Not to say I don't think about it, but I'm not going to worry about it. Why? Because I've overcome the world. Well, what about our health problems? Well, it's an awful thing to have to suffer through health problems, physical ailments. But again, I know God has a plan. And I trust the Lord in whatever those are, not only for me, but for you. I know we've prayed for people and we're praying for people now. We don't know how it's going to go. We don't know if the treatment's going to work. We don't know if there's going to be a complete reversal. We ask for one. We trust God for one. On the other hand, we say, Lord, you got a plan. We're trusting you with it. What else are we going to do? Worry about it? That's not going to solve anything. Fuss over it, complain about it, it's not going to fix anything. Well, we've overcome the world. We're not bogged down in the misery. This is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Faith. Faith. We believe. We trust. You know, of all the things that I saw this week where they have discovered a believed to be extinct dinosaur, but they found one that's alive and it's a fish and it's got feet. You say, that proves evolution. No, it doesn't. It proves God's got a sense of humor. And you know what's incredible to me is that God allows all of these false clues to be around. Call it what you will. We got all these ways that people could say, but it came from here and then developed this and then developed this. Well, yeah, that's how it worked. On day one, he said, let there be light. And on day two, he created. On day three, he created. On day four, he created. And it kind of got better as it went, didn't it? It really got better as it went because he made man. And then he said, I can do better than that. And he made woman. Amen. It just kept getting better and better. That's right. Save the best for last. So it does not surprise me, any of these discoveries. It doesn't surprise me. And it also doesn't convince me. My faith is strong enough to believe the Word of God is true. You see, I'm not trying to prove a case on this side. He's already written the case out. And as hard as they try to prove a case on the other side, it really doesn't disprove anything because nowhere in here does it say God didn't create fish with feet. Now, if it said that and we found one, then I'd have a problem. But he doesn't say that anywhere. God can do anything he wants to do. We've overcome the world by faith. Who is he, verse 5, that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe he is the Christ, verse 1. Believe he is the Son of God. How many of us believe that this morning? Amen. I do. I believe it. This is he that came, verse 6, by blood, by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. Look, Jesus was born. He was real human flesh. He was 100% human. And 100% God. He didn't set aside one for the other. What did he do? He changed locations. The Bible tells us he is the physical manifestation. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But he's still God. He's still man. And there are three that bear record. Verse 7. in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now, obviously at the time this was written, where was Jesus? In heaven. He's the Word and the Holy Ghost. Three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. So what is it that we're looking for? Well, we know that the flesh is real. We know that the Spirit is real. In fact, how could I change you? How could I change your personality? How could I change who you are? What if we started chopping off pieces? Just cut your legs off, cut your arms off. Are you still you? Yeah. A little bitter that I did that, but you're still you. Right? Doesn't change. That's the Spirit. That's who we are. That's our identity. How can we take that out when we die? The Spirit leaves the body. Until then. But guys, this is just a vessel, but it's a real vessel. He says in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. How can we believe people and not believe God? People will say, I don't know why you believe the Bible. It was written by men. Who wrote the history books? Who wrote the science book, chemistry book, math book? Who wrote that stuff? Aliens? Men. But you believe it. I believe it. I believe the history book, science book, math. I believe all that stuff. So it doesn't surprise me that we had more than 40 authors in the Word of God over 1,500 years. It doesn't shock me that that's the case. That God used them. All inspiration, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's not a single word in here that doesn't belong. And there's not a single word God left out that He wanted in there. The witness of God is greater. This is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? I asked a fellow that the other night. At the end, he was the last one out the door. And I said, are you born again? He said, what? I said, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. He didn't understand born again. The saved part he had down there. You ever ask somebody if they're saved? And they say, well, I don't know. Let me assure you of something this morning. If you're saved, you know it. And if you don't know it, you need to pray right now and ask God's forgiveness. If you don't know that you're saved, right now, from your heart to God's heart, God, I am a sinner. I trust Christ as my Savior. I know He died for me to give me victory over sin and death in the grave. Won't you ask God's forgiveness now? That's the witness in us. I'm saved. I don't know if you're saved because that witness is in you. But you better know it. And if you don't know it, then you're probably not. People have come to me and they say, Pastor, I know I walked the aisle when I was a young lady, 18 years old or 7 years old or whatever, and I got baptized and I'm a member of this church, but I'm just not sure I'm saved. You know what I don't do? I don't say, oh, sure you are. You're saved. Don't worry about it. No. I said, let's pray. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, we go through the prayer. Hey, I walked the aisle when I was 5 years old. In fact, it was my 5th birthday. It was a Sunday. Brother Ramsey was up there teaching. We had children's chapel, and he was teaching on John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and then He said, put your name in there. Instead of saying whosoever, He said, put your name in there. That if Derek believeth on Him, he shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then he said, you know, we had an invitation and everything, just like church. I walked the aisle and came up there and then went off to a side room, and his wife went through the plan of salvation. And she said, all right, now pray. And you can pray out loud. And I said, I don't want to pray out loud. I was 5 years old. I remember the color of the carpet. It was that old green carpet. And I don't know if she said something. I don't know if I said anything or not. I don't really know. Long time ago, wasn't it? I was riding down the road one day, and I got to wondering about that. I'm not sure. You know what I did? I prayed. Prayed and asked God's forgiveness and said, Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I surrender to you. I just want to be saved. I just want to know I'm saved. I know I'm saved now. If you doubt it, pray. By the way, I had been baptized before that second prayer. We got wet. Walked the aisle and said, I want to get baptized. And the deacon said, he's already a member of the church. He's teaching Sunday school, leading singing. I said, I don't care. I don't know if I was saved when I got dipped last time. I want to get dipped again. And so I got baptized. Now, I can assure you of this. My name's written in the book of life. I don't know if it happened when I was 5 or when I was 17, but I know it's written there. And I know I'm baptized. I don't know if I was baptized when I was 12 or when I was 17, but I know I'm baptized. Hey, it's okay to say I made a mistake. It's okay to say I was wrong. But it's not okay to go to hell. And it's not okay to live a lie. The assurance is in me. The witness is in myself. And it's in yourself. Verse 11, this is the record that God has given to us. Eternal life. And this life is in His Son. How many of you care if you died and that was it? You'd just be dead. You wouldn't even know it, right? But that's not the case. We have an eternal soul. And God breathed in Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that means everybody's going to live forever. Every soul is going to live forever, either here, either in heaven, or in the lake of fire. That's our choice. How foolish would you be to choose the lake of fire? God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You say, well, they have their own religion. If it's not Jesus, they don't have anything. But they're sincere. When they stand before God, if they're not saved, they'll be told, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. By the way, those workers of iniquity cast out devils, fed the sick, and visited the lonely. And He said, workers of iniquity. Why? Because they weren't doing it in the name of Christ. They weren't doing it in the direction of Christ. Get saved. Finally, verse 13, we'll finish after this. I didn't say immediately after this, but after this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. I believe on the name of the Son of God, don't you? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. I'm so glad I can know it. Are you saved? Well, I was. I don't know if I still am. You know it. The witness is in yourself. Are you saved? You may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I know that this message has been elementary for most everyone in this room, probably everyone in this room. Maybe even everyone joining us online. But Sometimes we just need to be encouraged to know that we're right. The Word of God says, believe He is the Christ, believe He is the Son of God. Have that assurance in ourselves that we are saved. And know that you have eternal life. I'm glad to have Jesus. I'm glad to have that assurance. And in that faith, I have overcome the world. And so have you. Let's stand. If you're here this morning and you just realized your need for a Savior, you want to pray and accept Christ your Savior, do that now. You don't need my help. But if you want my help, I'll be glad to walk you through it. You have to talk to God about your salvation. And He'll save your soul. Maybe there's other burden on your heart. Would you pray right now? God is listening. What is it? I remember when the prophet Nathan was talking to King David. And God's message to David was, I've given you so much, and if that was not enough, I would have done more. God's love for us is limitless. It's a matter of what we're willing to ask for, willing to hope for. We've got to have faith. And we've got to trust God. Father, guide us through this time and accomplish your perfect work in us in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want, I'll pray with you. You can know that you have eternal life. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Amen. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?